Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Music is fitting as we go straight to the WadeFord.com hotline. That is where we find Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer joining us here on the morning shift this morning. Good morning, Coach. It's great to have you.
Yeah, good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Well, Coach, we know you have spent the last few years coaching Michael Penix Jr., and that is who the Falcons selected with the 8th overall pick in the draft. Just what is Atlanta getting in a quarterback and in a person with Michael Penix?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I could go on and on, but I've had a chance, you know, 2019, got a chance with him 1 year, and then the last 2 years at Washington. And, you know, I think his story is probably well understood, his journey and all that. And so, you know, even from a distance, he becomes a guy that's easy to root for. But, you know, The amazing thing is once you really get to know him, man, you realize what this guy's really all about. And, you know, it's not just his desire to be the best, you know, amazing football player, but it's about who he is as a person. And all his things that he's gone through have shaped who he is. And, you know, he's only gotten better because of all these experiences. But, you know, he's a guy that's going to be in the community, and you know, all the fans are going to love who he is, and you know, he's going to give himself not just to his teammates and everyone there at the Falcons organization, but the community as well. So he's just a super special, I can't say kid, right? I mean, he's an adult, and he's a grown man, you know, as we've seen in how he plays and just his nature of who he is as a person.
It's interesting hearing you say that, Coach, because I swear, if I just close my eyes, it almost sounds like Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot and their, you know, the context they were putting in last night. They had a lot of the same things to say. Coach, you have more of a front row seat than almost anybody, and a lot has been made, you know, in national circles about Michael Penix's injuries in the past, but it seems like once he got to Washington, those were all in the past. There was not an issue anymore. What transition do you think he made, or what do you think he was doing differently or that he might have learned along the way that allowed him to stay healthy and play those games and kind of set all those records for the last couple of years at Washington?
You know, his injury in 2021 at Indiana, and that was the year before he came to us at Washington. You know, that injury was one that didn't really bleed into the offseason. And so that 2022 offseason, he got a full year, you know, and I don't know, he might give a little different answer, but when I look back on it and have some perspective on the question that gets asked many times, like you just did, you know, I think he had a full offseason, you know, stacked a lot of days on top of each other. As he built up his body and, you know, as he went through the season, did a great job, you know, continued to stay that course. And then, you know, really, you know, doubled down with this last 2023 offseason and got 2 years of really building himself up, you know. And, you know, we talk in terms of making yourself, you know, metal, you know, and just, you know, a machine that can't be broken. And that's, you know, a lot of times physically, but we also talk mentally. And, you know, he's got the mental game and knew what his goals were, what his dreams were. Knew he was capable from a talent standpoint, knew he had the makeup mentally And now it's just a matter of going to work. And he did that over 2 years. And I think he's been able to sustain the hits and long season that we just had together. So, you know, I think that's a lot of it. He did a good job, I think, learning from the situations he was maybe in and put himself in and, was able to stay upright a lot. Not take an unnecessary hit. So did a great job for us that way, too.
Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer joining us on the WadeFord.com hotline here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coach, when I remember Michael Penix from Indiana, you know, the highlight against Penn State where he's scrambling down the sideline and he dives for the end zone, it felt like when he went to you guys in Washington, he kind of reinvented who he was as a player, where he became more of a pocket passer, where when he's in the pocket, he's looking to pass. He moves to throw. How did he make that transition? Because I don't think when he went to Washington, someone would say, we had Brock Huard the other day, and he said he was the best pure passer in the history of the University of Washington. I don't think someone would have said that about him when he left Indiana. How did he make that transition?
You know, like I said, you know, the year at Indiana that I had, 2019 with him, I mean, you know, what I think people, I think they maybe have a little idea of the type of athlete he is, but I mean, this guy can run. He's super athletic. As you mentioned with the play that he had in 2020, against Penn State when he was at Indiana, and we utilized, we had to, you know, we had to utilize his game and, you know, we're running zone reads a lot. We're running the power read game where he's got a lot of chances to keep the football. We needed every bit of that, I think, there to help us win football games. And he, you know, showed out, you know, made those plays. And he always, I really feel, had that pocket passer piece to him. I mean, you know, he just all of a sudden – change who he was. He had that ability. And I remember him standing up there and stepping into, you know, pressure that was coming right in his face many times back in even 2019. So, I think, you know, we probably as much as anyone as a staff just really tried to understand that, man, we have a special talent here. We need to make sure we're smart about how we utilize him. And, a lot of that was more of just, the pocket, but, you know, he throws on the run extremely well. We were able to move him around and, only utilize the running piece when we really need to. You know, I think we brought some of those things out in the Texas game back in the national semifinal this last year. And it was stuff that, you know, he'd run back in the previous years, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, you know, we're utilizing his running ability again. And he moved the chains with his legs multiple times in that game alone.
Coach, I actually had the pleasure of sidelining your game against Cal back in 2022, and I remember getting to talk to Roma Dunze before that game, and he told me about how Michael just prepared. And along those lines, what do you maybe think the relationship would be like with Kirk Cousins, being that Michael's a guy that has the willingness to learn and wants to absorb everything he can about the game?
Yeah, I think, okay, first of all, the Cal game, that one is kind of specific because – you know, he threw for a lot of yards, well over 300. But,
yes, he did.
You know, that game, I just remember him really having to stack a lot of completions on top of each other. And the explosives, you know, because of the defensive scheme weren't necessarily right there. And we missed a couple from, you know, protection standpoint. And they flushed him out a couple times when a guy was coming open. But he stacked a lot of plays on top of each other and just kept completing the ball to, you know, all the different guys. And I thought that was a great step for him on winning a football game in a different way for us. But, the relationship piece, it's who he is. It's what he does best. This guy is so likable. He's low ego. Extremely low ego. And, he's going to be a guy that's going to be there and learn every day, understand that he's got someone like Kirk Cousins there who's been in the league. He's just going to latch on to everything Kirk can share with him. I think, you know, no matter who Michael's with, he's going to be a great teammate and going to be there to help make that person better, whether it's someone at his position or others around the football team.
Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer hanging out with us here on the morning shift. Coach, when the Falcons got on the clock, I honestly was standing up in my living room going, Roma Dunze, Roman Dunze. Take Roma Dunze. They didn't. You had a chance to actually he goes right after that to the Bears at 9. You had a chance to coach both these guys. I just want you to talk about how special it is for you as a coach to see guys like this able to live out their dream, because these are obviously two special talents going in the top 10. You helped them a lot along the way, and I'm sure they're very thankful, but it's got to be kind of a cool feeling for you.
You know, it's like a broken record when scouts and GMs would get on the phone, and it wasn't just those two. There was others too, but, you know, it'd be like, man, this guy is just, you know, a great guy. He's, you know, a franchise, you know, type of like personality, and just, you know, who you can build around. You know, everything I just explained about Michael is what Rome is, and, you know, the smiles on their faces, and just you can see who they are, you know, very quickly, and how genuine they are, and how much they love the game. The cool thing about these guys is, you know, 2022, after that season, these guys were ready. They were ready to go into the NFL. They could have gone and got drafted, and, you know, I don't, you know, wouldn't know where exactly where that had been. It probably would have been second round, you know, for sure, third round, you know, maybe in Michael's case, because people wanted to see him stack another year, like he did the year before. But, you know, I think the cool thing is that these guys made a commitment to enjoy the moments that come along with playing the great game of football at the college level, dug in even deeper, and made their games even better. And then, you know, just continued to, you know, develop and took advantage of another year. And to see them be rewarded the way they are, and just to, you know, have this moment, it means so much. It's just, I mean, I just, you know, beam with like just happiness, you know, just seeing these guys have this limelight that they're in right now. And, you know, you're just so confident they're going to handle it with grace too when these situations and these opportunities come up.
Coach, you talked about Adunze and Michael Penix, and you obviously had other guys drafted, but two guys that are going to be probably drafted today are Jalen McMillan and Jalen Polk. I'm really interested in those two guys. I was very interested in them coming here. Now that we've went offense first, I don't know where the defense goes as a Falcons guy, because that's one of our big needs. But what are those two? What will those two guys bring to an NFL offense in Polk and McMillan?
Yeah, when you take that receiving core, you're talking about a bunch of guys. I called them gym rats. You know, they love ball, and they love everything about it. They love the weight room, but, you know, they love everything, you know, with the drills on the field and the footwork. That's the way these guys are. And, you know, that the jugs machine and any variation of catching a football or catching any type of object, tennis balls, whatever it might be, that's what these guys were all about. And they put in the time, film study. You know, they were in at 5 a.m. in the morning. All three of those guys, they pushed each other to make themselves better. Jalen McMillan, you know, just high end, got dinged up a little bit this year, which I think, you know, probably dropped him a little bit, but, people know who he is and how natural of a receiver he is, and, explosive, instincts, a lot of instincts, just, you know, the complete package that way. And then Jalen Polk is just, you know, your every down, just gets it done, super competitive. He was, when I came to Washington, the glue guy. You know, that's what he was kind of known for, is the guy that kept the group together, the whole group. You know, it wasn't just about himself. He was rallying the receivers to be a complete group. You know, he brings some really good juice and energy that isn't just about him, it's about the team. So can't wait to see where these guys go as well.
Coach, going into your first full season as the head coach at Alabama, you just got done with the spring game not too long ago. How excited are you about this upcoming season?
Yeah, I really am. You know, and people ask, are you ready? You know, no, we're not ready, because we got a lot of work to do between now and that first game. But we are in a really good spot. We're on our way. The thing I always really care about the most at this time of the year, doesn't matter if you're first year or, you know, second year, 10th year, at a place, you know, it's about the mindset and, you know, just starting over from scratch, you know, and we really had to do that because a whole new staff and learning new systems, but, the guys really grasped onto and embraced everything that we threw at them, you know, all spring long, all winter off season, and you know, meeting with them one on one. In fact, today's my last day of just working through, you know, about 20 every day, the one on one meetings, and the excitement that they have to just get back to work, and do their thing, and the belief they have in the direction we're going. It's exciting. This summer will be. We got a lot of work in fall camp, just to clean some things up, and we'll be ready.
Well, Coach, as a Bama alum, I got to tell you, man, we're excited to have you, and we're excited to have you on the show today. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little bit.
You bet. Appreciate you guys. Roll Tide.
There he is.
That was Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer joining us here on the show, who also coached Michael Penix, the Falcons' draft pick, their eighth overall draft pick. He coached him for a number of years, Indiana and Washington, so some great insight there into what the Falcons are getting in this quarterback.
Nobody knows him any better than Coach DeBoer does from their time together. And so, look, there isn't much questioning of who Michael Penix is as a man and as a player. I'm so excited about what the future holds for him, and it's cool to talk to him.
All right, stay with us here. More on the Falcons draft pick, and you can try to call us in this segment if you would like at 404-726-0929. You can weigh in and give us your thoughts on the Falcons drafting Michael Penix. And we also have Albert Breer joining us later on in the show from Sports Illustrated for insight into what went into this pick. All right, this hour brought to you by...
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Stay with us here on the Morning Shift. We'll be right back.
It's time for a look back
into the mind of Squid Billy.
Hey, he might even talk sports.
This is the Life of Squid on the Morning Shift.
Brought to you by the W Sauce and Status Truck and Trailer Repair. Driven by excellence, building successful partnerships.
That's right. Little W Sauce.
I'm getting a Bloody Mary as soon as we get off the air today.
I need one, and I didn't even drink last night.
I did.
I worked. No, I didn't. I worked. I was a.
Brown
I was
a, water was flowing.
I think I got. It's funny because I got off the. Let me finish my thing. A little Bloody Mary mix, Key West style. And then I got to say, I do say that last night at the draft party, Anthony from Status Truck and Trailer Repair and all his guys, got to meet all the guys from Status Truck and Trailer Repair that fix your vehicles. They came to the draft party. Really cool. They hung out with us on the railing there as we did the draft party. I will remind you guys that first round pick, I don't know if I'll remind you or announce that the first round pick, Michael Penix Jr., will be live exclusively on 92.9 The Game today at 4:30 with Carl and Michael and Dukes and Bell. And then Terry Fontenot will follow up with that at 6 o'clock exclusively on Dukes and Bell at 6 o'clock. You will not hear that on any other radio station in this city. They will both be on with us today.
Maybe not even in America.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about national. I only speak for Atlanta because that's all I care about.
I thought you were going to say in the world.
But look. I'm doing the draft show, and I hit a guy, Bryce Coon, cover Georgia Tech. He was like, hey, man, I need a guest for my podcast. I'm like, dude, I'm working. I was like, I'll be driving home at like 11:30. So I didn't know it was a video podcast. So I'm like holding the phone as I drive, and it's dark. So you could probably, I don't know what you saw of me. Maybe my neck. So I did that interview, but it was a cool experience to draft. It's always cool to be down there. It was you got to see the wide range of emotions, which I think have been, you know, we've seen with our callers. I will say this. I did miss MGA last night. My partner, who's my MGA partner now, has the best night he's had since he's been playing MGA.
Ever.
They shot 5-under last night.
Maybe it's
he
you.
Had two eagles.
I know. Maybe you're the weak
link. No, he played good.
That's what I'm saying.
And I'm like,
you're bringing him
down.
Dude,
what are you talking about? No. I don't bring anybody down.
I'm just speaking truth.
I just, I encourage,
angry
you know.
Tweet.
I don't encourage angry tweeters. You know what's funny real quick? And I know we're gonna get some of your calls. I didn't say by the way.
I just thought it was coming.
Yeah, try to call us out.
I have last night when they made the pick, I was getting called Falcons Homer, an apologist. Can't wait to hear your excuse for this terrible pick. And then we come on the and not knowing what I was thinking, because I didn't tweet really anything. Yeah. I just tweeted a meme, which didn't really give any either way.
Yeah.
And then we get in this morning and we're barely through one segment. You're so negative. You know what? They should fire you from the broadcast because you don't ride with the team.
Look,
and I'm
this
like,
is the problem with generalizing.
Overnight.
People that,
overnight, I went from Falcons Homer, ride or die, apologist to negative.
You can't generalize the fan base.
My goodness.
Man. There's
my
caveats.
Goodness.
I just love it. I love the way the pendulum will swing, Tiffany.
Personally,
I just think it's funny how the pendulum swings to all I do is apologize for the team to. You're the reason they lose because you're just negative and you create hate for them, which I didn't know that I was making the picks or the coaching decisions.
I can't.
Some guy tweeted me and said, yeah, man, I know that you're the one that called down to Shanahan and said,
you sound crazy right now. Throw again.
And I said, you know what, David, I did. I said, you know what? Tell Matt to pick a guy and let it fly. Don't run the ball.
You know what? You sound
this
like
life is squid
you
is off
need...
the rails.
Basically,
bring
this
it home.
Is – this is almost like
this is 3 hours of squid
Hall of
sleep.
Fame thing. Was it Michael Jordan's right when he got up and just like roasted people? That's
what we're hearing is squid's inner thoughts from the last
you know,
3 hours.
This is what you do when you stop looking.
You know
at
what
Twitter.
The problem is?
I want you to stop looking at Twitter.
Is all y'all thought that Michael Jordan was being petty?
The problem is you're saying all y'all still.
That's the problem.
Y'all
he
are all like, oh, Michael Jordan's just petty. He just hangs on to stuff. I thought that was the greatest Hall of Fame speech of all time. I was standing and giving him a applause while he was calling out his coach
him.
That cut him.
I hope that's what
the
Michael
guy
Pence's
that made
Hall of
him
speech sounds like.
Okay.
I do too.
All right, let's
I do
go
too.
To the lines.
Hope he calls me out personally.
We got Ice
Squid
on
Nation,
the line.
Baby.
Noonan, Ice, how you feeling about the draft pick of Michael Penix?
Hey guys, good morning.
What's
morning.
Up, buddy?
How y'all doing today?
Can't complain.
Listen, here's how for you. I think it's perfect scenario, right? Maybe Kurt pans out. Maybe he doesn't. Kurt's an excellent quarterback, and he'll be able to help Mike in his progression. However, I'm thinking that our front office is very smart in what they did, because at the end of those 4 years, he will still be on a rookie deal, Penix. And so it gives the opportunity for the quarterback cap on our team to reset by still being on a rookie deal. He'll still be able to put pieces around him without breaking the bank. So I think it's excellent. He'll transition in. He'll learn the offense. He would have been there. He would have understood the culture of the team and the clubhouse, and it'll be easy to transition with still money to play around. Because I think that the cap is not that great of a hit after – I think 3 years with Cousins. I'm not really sure on that, but I do know that it will be an excellent transition into the future.
Well, Ice,
we hope
appreciate
you're right.
You, Ice.
We
Ice,
hope you're right.
If you want to do it that way, to your point, you have to basically do it after the second. After 2 years, you basically will move on, because here's the problem. It's a 4-year deal for Penix, and to get a fifth year, you have to make the decision before the fourth year in May that you want to pick up the fifth-year option.
Like it's happening with Justin Fields right now.
Yes, which will be somewhere at that point in time around 30-plus, because it's 25 for Justin right now. It goes up. It's a whole qualifiers of how it can be determined. The way to make that work, though, is you do it after year two, because after year two, Kirk Cousins is only got $10 million guaranteed. It'll be a $25 million cap hit, if I'm not mistaken. And basically, Penix would be costing you you would be getting a starting quarterback for somewhere around $32 million, Tiff, and then you could still do that because that's still way under value for what would be 2026 season. That's the way you do it. You can't wait 4 years. You wait 4 years, you've completely wasted it all.
Back to the Lions. Good morning to Jeremy in Stone Mountain. How are you this morning, Jeremy?
Morning, everyone. And by morning, I mean M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G.
Oh, no.
It's hard being a Falcons fan, man. I can't wrap my head around it. It doesn't make any sense to me. You sign a 35-year-old Cousins coming off an Achilles injury, giving him $100 million, and then you turn around and piss him off by drafting a 25-year-old quarterback with two busted knees and two shoulder surgeries. I mean, just make it make sense. Like, I don't get it whatsoever. And all the energy and goodwill that I felt this, you know, off season is just gone away. Like, it's rough.
We've been trying to make it make sense all day, and we're positive people. All three of us, we're positive people, man. But I think it's just one of those things where we're still trying to come to terms with it. And look, I will feel better tonight if they go out and get a couple good pieces and maybe move around and you find a Bergeron-esque guy that's going to start all 17 games for you and hopefully into the playoffs. But still, it's going to be a head-scratcher for a number of years to come, and we have to come to terms with that. So we'll see what happens with it. But he's right. We're just trying to make it make sense at this point.
Back to the Lions. We got Mr. Yo in Atlanta. All right, Mr. Yo.
All right.
There's a victory lap, Mr. Yo. Let's get it out.
Hey, Mr.
Yo. Mr. Yo, before you start, you deserve this victory lap. You've been big on this. You wanted this. So I'm happy for you because you are loyal to all of us on the station and on this show. So take your victory lap, sir.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so here's where I come down to this. Thank you for allowing me into the nation, Mr. Squid Billy.
Oh, man.
Yes,
because
sir.
You know I am a proud card-carrying member of the nation.
Oh, man.
I thought it was a no-brainer. It's the same thing when I was calling up and I was begging the Falcons to take Justin Fields. And the coach comes out at the beginning and says he wants certain qualities in the quarterback. And after he listed it off, I took a call with John Fricke, and me and him were talking about it. And he's like, dude, that's Kirk Cousins. It's not Justin Fields. And so I was telling Fricke at the time, I'm like, you know what? If you look at this college quarterback class, the only other quarterback that fits that bill of the elite processor, leader of men, wins from the pocket, plays on schedule, is Michael Penix Jr. What are your thoughts on him taking him? He said it might be a possibility. And now we're going back 2 or 3 months. And I started going back, and obviously I have to give it up to Andy Bunker, because if it wasn't for him, I would not have been watching Washington football games at 1 o'clock in the morning because they play on the West Coast. But I did. And the guy was phenomenal. And so it's like, if you look at Kirk Cousins in his game when he was leaving Washington, going to Minnesota when he was younger, it's literally like watching the same quarterback, except he's a lefty. And so I didn't think that it was that far of a stretch. Now, yes, I was pissed that we didn't go get Justin Fields, but I was okay with it because we got the absolute best quarterback available in Kirk Cousins. I rock the Kirko jersey now, okay?
Nice.
But who was behind him? And that guy who was behind him is the reason that Arthur Smith got fired. It wasn't just Desmond Ridder. It was the idea that he said that Desmond's going to be the starter, but we got Taylor Heinicke back here, and if something goes wrong, he's got it. They put Taylor Heinicke in the game, and Taylor was worse than Ridder. We all watched it. And then last year, I think it was New Year's Eve, you know, I'm sitting there texting you and saying, hey, man, I got my jersey on. I got my Falcons hat on. You up there in the cold. Everything is going to be good, but please watch out for Justin Fields. And Heinicke goes up there and gets a stomp. 37-17, right? And so I'm like, we, after that game, said, can we go into this offseason with Ridder at quarterback and Heinicke? We were all saying, nah, they're probably going to either cut Heinicke or trade him, right? Nobody changed their opinion until we got Kirk Cousins. Then all of a sudden, Heinicke became a viable backup. Dude, no, he's not.
It's a good point.
No, you make a good point.
I'm actually glad that Mr. Yo comes on here and makes good points, because he sounds a little crazy on the Twitter sometimes. But man, he sounded like
he's a great dude. I've been around before.
He's spot on with a lot of things he just said.
We appreciate him.
Well, he just repeats it over and over again, so it makes him seem a little over the top. But I love the dude, and we're happy to have him in the nation.
All right, you know who's not in the nation? Albert Breer for sure is not in the nation.
You mean AB? Yeah, yes.
He's got the NFL covered for Sports Illustrated. No one calls him AB. I will double check on that, but I am 99% positive you are wrong. Anyway, Albert Breer is going to be joining us here.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
On the morning shift on the other side to break down the Falcons draft pick. Next, on the morning shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Now, your game traffic. 92.9 The Game's traffic set.
Here on the morning shift, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. We are going straight to the wadeford.com hotline. That is where we find Sports Illustrated.
Woo!
MMQB. We've got Albert Breer joining us here on a big post-round one draft day show. How you feeling, Albert?
I'm good. So you guys don't want my Dallas Turner takes anymore?
No, I mean, here we are thinking that, you know, we were going to be having a conversation Falcons taking a pass rusher, but that is not the case. They took Michael Penix Jr., the quarterback. Breer, can you walk us through, if you can, to some of the logic that may have gone into making this selection?
Yeah, I think, Tiff, like, I think where you start is the last 3 years that the owner went through. The first year of Arthur Smith and Terry Fontenot there, offloading Matt Ryan maybe a year before because of the way the Deshaun Watson thing went. And then, all right, like, we're going to do a reclamation project with Marcus Mariota, and then we're going to try to win with Bless with Desmond Ridder. And, in a lot of ways, I don't know how you guys feel, but I do have it in my head that part of this is the owner wanting a succession plan in place and overcorrecting to some degree what happened the last couple of years there. And look, like, the Falcons did all the work, right? Like, it was 3 weeks ago, they put a big group on a plane to fly out to Seattle and work out Michael Penix. They actually had plans to work out J.J. McCarthy, too. In Ann Arbor, that workout wound up getting canceled. There was a player on the team that canceled that one. So they had kind of left breadcrumbs for everybody. And I had heard over the last few days, yeah, they really like Penix. But there was this consensus that maybe they were doing that to appease ownership, right? Like, the owner maybe wanted them to look at the idea of putting a succession plan in place. And, ultimately you see where it is, and where it is now is this was all very genuine. And, I guess the logic would be after 2 years of, I don't know if neglecting the position is the right way to put it, but not investing it the way a lot of other teams do. Now it's almost like they're over-investing in the position. And the premise would be, like, if we get it right, then the rest doesn't matter.
Albert, this almost felt like the day after a championship game when you get on socials and you see the reaction videos from the bars where one team won the championship and then the other team, you see the reaction from the bars around their town where they lost. Waking up today and watching some of the reaction videos from everybody watching the draft, whether it's Mercedes-Benz Stadium or people in the crowd in Detroit or wherever it may be, what was your reaction? You did a great job walking us through the logic, but now your initial reaction and the people you were around, just I think I speak for everybody here when I say I was dumbfounded.
Yeah. Well, I was sitting on a TV set, and I'm tipping ticks, so we're a little ahead of the draft, and I said Penix, and, like, it was like, the record scratch moment, you know what I mean? Like, what? Like, what just happened? I think that a lot of people were stunned, and rightfully so. I mean, this is a team that just spent $45 million a year to fix the quarterback position. And, making that massive investment and then turning around and, spending a top-10 pick on a quarterback, is going to surprise a lot of people. It's unprecedented what the Falcons are doing here, And I think part of the shock is, like, look, like, so, and I think if we just want to look at this, logically, part of the reason why you draft a quarterback that high is because of the price you're getting him at, right? In other words, like, the Bears with Caleb Williams and the Commanders with Jaden Daniels, and the Patriots with Drake May, the Vikings with J.J. McCarthy, they're all going to be working now at an advantage where you've got a quarterback on a rookie contract, and that gives you financial flexibility. You know, the Falcons aren't going to have that because, you know, when by the time Penix gets on the field and by the time, you know, you're in a position where you can offload Kirk Cousins, you're going to be, like, right at the end of that window to have your quarterback on a rookie contract. Like, you're going to have to find out really quick whether or not he's the guy, and then you're going to have to pay him, you know? So I think, you know, like, just kind of like the way you think about team building, the way you think about the quarterback position, what the Falcons did here, like, just broke a lot of that in half. Now, that said, again, if it works, and if Cousins is a great answer for the next 2 years, and then Penix is the quarterback for the 10 years after that, then none of this reaction on a Friday morning is going to mean a thing. If that's the way this plays out, then unequivocally, Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris will have done the right thing. And I can tell you this additionally, guys. Like, I talked to guys there through the process. I know the coaching staff was very high on Michael Penix to the point where I think you may hear it come out over the next week or two that they had Michael Penix as 2A, 2B, like right there, you know, with anybody else, the second quarterback in the draft behind Caleb Williams.
Wow.
Monday morning quarterbacks Albert Breer joining us here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 929 The Game. AB, do you think that the Kirk Cousins response that came
nobody
out about
nobody calls you AB.
Hey, I just called him AB.
Don't call this man AB.
We can nickname him AB.
No, we can't.
We're Albert, not, does anybody call you AB?
A few people do, but people who like have just kind of taken it upon themselves to give me that nickname.
That's right. Well, that's what I just did.
I don't mind it. I'm a little less crazy than another AB, right?
I'd say so.
So, like I was saying, AB, do you think with the Kirk Cousins' response to this, saying that he was not expecting it, that they called him during when they were on the clock, do you think that'll cause any kind of issue moving forward, or is he going to be what we've always thought of him as, is the constant professional?
Do you mean like he's going to have like a really bizarre press conference a year from now, like we might have seen somewhere else a couple of years ago?
Yeah.
Or like he might have a really crazy year with COVID or, yeah, no.
Or maybe decide he might want to retire, but he might not. But maybe we have to go to a farm to find him.
Yeah.
He might become like a regular on the Pat McAfee show. I think Kirk's going to handle this like a pro. I think, you know, you just wish the communication part of it would have been handled a little bit differently. And I do wonder, like, how Kirk deep down is going to feel about it, because I don't think he's going to outwardly come out and say anything, right? But, look, like, I know, like, in the process, and you guys might have read the story that I did on Kirk, like, when he came over, you know, big part of this for him when he was like considering his options was more than just the money. Like, he wanted to go to a place where like the contract would tell him he's the starting quarterback for a few years, you know? And so like the whole thought was there's guaranteed money, you're going to the third year. And really, like, if you read the contract, like, you're pretty much assured that you're gonna be the quarterback for 2 years, but I think he had it in his head, like, this gives me 3 years of runway. We heard him in the press conference, it's like, I hope, you know, maybe this isn't my last contract in Atlanta. So you have that whole train of thought, and now the succession plan is already in place. And I would say this, too, like, you know, one of the issues with the Vikings was the Vikings were very upfront with him that, like, yeah, there's a good possibility we draft a quarterback this year, even if you're here, you know? And I think part of that, like, for Kirk was, like, I mean, they're starting to move me out of there, you know? I think that made him a little uncomfortable. So now to have his new team do just that, do the exact same thing, I mean, I'd imagine, you know, deep down, and I don't think you're going to see any of it outwardly, but I'd imagine deep down there might be some feelings there.
Be interesting to see how it ends up playing out. Albert, this draft, we haven't seen something like this since 1983, where you had six quarterbacks taken in the first round. Very offense-heavy. But what are your overall thoughts on how this first round played out?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the first thing you look at, Tiffany, it's like six in the first round is a record, and it's six in the top 12, you know. And I think it's, again, like, you know, I just a signal of how you can never do too much to get that position right, right? So we talk about the Falcons, kid. I mean, the Broncos, and the Broncos, by the way, aren't going to have that rookie quarterback, that rookie contract advantage with Bo Nix either for the next 2 years, because they're still carrying the cap charges for Russell Wilson, you know, in 2024 and 2025. So this could be 2026 before they're really operating with that sort of advantage, because they already made a massive mistake in taking a big swing, you know? So that's the first thing. I think the other thing that's sort of interesting, guys, is, like, if you look at it, like, if you look at the makeup of the first round, now you did have the three receivers in the top 10, but look at all the tackles. I think it was 8 tackles for the first round, and there was, it really kind of slowed to a trickle at receiver. You had all of these teams that were looking at it and saying, we need a tackle, we need a receiver, let's go with the tackle. Because it's much harder to find those sorts of players. So that really stuck out to me, too, was how, you know, Brian Thomas, who's from LSU, you know, and a really, really talented guy, falls into the 20s. And, you know, you have, you know, Xavier Worthy still there for the Chiefs to trade up for at 28, you know. So I think, like, the importance of the offensive line positions was really in there, you know, as well. You know, and today will be interesting, too, because I think you still have some tackles. And you have a lot of receivers that can go on day two. So how all that falls and whether the trend, you know, continues. You know, you see two receivers go at the end of the round there, Pearsall and Leggett. And I think that trend there, tackle over receiver, will be interesting to watch to see if that continues here early into the second round.
Finishing up here with Albert Breer, we got about 30 seconds, Albert. I'm just curious, is it anybody that's still on the board shock you? You got Cooper DeJean, you got, you know, Newton from Illinois, Adonai Mitchell, Kool-Aid McKinstry. Anybody shock you that didn't come off the board last night and you might think go early today?
No, I mean, I'd say there are more surprises on guys that made it into the first round than guys that didn't. Like, I think Kool-Aid and DeJean and you know, like, I think those guys were, like, borderline, like, could fall out. You know what I mean? Johnny Newton may be a little more surprising just because it's hard to find interior pass rushers, and he is one. So maybe a little more surprising, but he's coming off a foot fracture. I guess I was a little more surprised to see Pearsall make it into the first round, and maybe that's the precursor for an eventual IU trade. And Leggett, like, those two – that was just a little surprising to see those guys at the end of the round. I think overall, though, outside of, like, you know, the Penix, like, curveball and then the, you know, Nix going 12, which, you know, like, I think, you know, some people expected. You know, outside of that, it was kind of a chalky first round, you know? Right. Or at least that's the way I saw it.
Albert, we got a lot more to look forward to, and I know you'll be busy today, so we appreciate you joining us this morning. Not AB.
Yeah.
Thanks,
maybe you'll get a pass rush here today, Tiff. We'll see.
We can't wait. Thanks, Albert. That was Albert Breer joining us here on the show of Sports Illustrated MMQB. He's NBC Boston and 985 The Sports Hub. So Albert is everywhere. We appreciate his insight. Yes, Mike.
Don't forget that me and Squidbilly are going to be coming at you live tomorrow for 4 hours to react to everything that happens tonight and everything that happens tomorrow morning. That'll be at noon tomorrow on 92.9 The Game.
Boom. We'll find out what's coming up on The Steakhouse next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Odyssey celebrates Mother's Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.